Welcome to another episode of Irrational Moms. We're coming to you from Milf Estates, where us moms are roasting roasting chestnuts and wrapping presents like good little moms. All right, you can listen to our podcast on Spotify or Apple, or you can find us at irrationalmoms.com. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and, you know, leave a comment. So this week, it's almost Christmas, and we have so much fun things to talk about. We have a snack of the week, and hopefully it's a Christmas-themed snack. Otherwise, I'm going to be very disappointed, Tress.
It is.
Okay, good. We had a fan question, and it was basically they wanted to know if we could choose between being a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, what would we pick? And I think we have some very like interesting questions on this one. Different perspectives, I think, because Annabelle, I know, like, we've done both, right? So I think it's kind of a good topic. Also, we have a lot to discuss about some football, because it seems like all of our good teams are actually taking a dump. Besides the Niners, right? there's so much stuff to talk about. And then also our irrational mom topic of why are women so freaking crazy and they go online and they like to like attack other women. I mean, I think we've kind of touched on this, but I just kind of want to bring it up because we had another like, you know, mom that was like trolling us on social media where I'm like, come on, man, you've got to have better things to do with your life than like, come look at us.
Right.
We're just moms. Come on. All right. So anyways, before we get started, also we're wearing Christmas pajamas today. So I think we should show off our Christmas pajamas.
What is this?
Somebody said reindeer games. I didn't realize I should have titled my Instagram post reindeer games.
Oh my God. Okay. So, okay. Then Tris, I want to see your pajamas. They're super cute. Are we all wearing one pieces?
Mine's a one piece also.
Okay, Annabelle, let's see.
I'm stuck in my little podcast setup.
I thought you were just wearing the top, maybe, and then she's like,
"Well, no. Usually, I don't have anything on the bottoms, but I don't know if you can see y'all. I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually, I put on a shirt, and I don't wear. I just wear sweatpants or leggings.
I'm always wearing slippers, but I do like how you have a Christmas tree in the background. Very festive. I feel like I need to up my game for like the next holiday season.
I should have been doing them in front each week, do a different in front of a different tree in my house. That's what I should have done, but that's extra crazy. So
that is kind of extra crazy, but yeah, I mean, or just move. Is that your baking tree?
Yeah, this is my food tree. It has a bunch of food ornaments.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
A snack tree. Why didn't I think of that?
Seriously, you're going to have to step it up next year. You need a. Last year I had a smaller flocked tree as my food tree, but this year I was like, nah, let's go big this time. So I got the big one and I love it.
Oh, yeah, it I want to know, what is your favorite ornament on that one? Is there like a steak on there, like a T-bone steak? Or
no, there's a lot of desserts.
Tomahawk?
There's donuts.
Tomahawk.
There's like I love the Cheetos one. There's a Cheetos ornament.
Yeah, ooh. Cheetos are my favorite.
Let's see. There's some champagne and wine and cocktails. Oh yeah, guacamole. I like that one too.
Did you put your rosé? I got you that little rosé ornament. I don't know if it might still be with the gift.
I didn't open my gift yet, so.
No, the last year I got you guys a little rosé.
Yeah, I have it. It's on my tree. It's on my Poindexter tree.
Probably.
In the entryway. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't.
It's probably up there.
I packed everything together, so I don't even remember. And I put this tree up like a month ago, so. And I hardly slept, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now.
All right. Well, okay.
But I love Christmas ornaments, so I'm sure I put it up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have to show you my cute little pajamas. Look at these.
Love it. Santa
so
baby.
Cute.
Yes. I'm not really into like a onesie, but I'm like, it's kind of cute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already want to rip this thing off because my arms are hot. Like, I don't like wearing
sleeves. These aren't usually as flattering.
No.
Well, like, I had to tie mine back a little bit. Just to
Of course, you had to.
It's some curves. Yes.
That itty bitty waist.
I don't have a little tiny waist, but I do feel like I had to put extra deodorant on because I was having a hot flash.
I'm like, menopause. It's happening.
Okay. So, Tris, I want to know, what is your Christmas snack of the week?
I'm very excited about this because I got a package of goodies from Annabelle. I didn't put all of them on here. It's literally, I had a whole container of these things. Okay. So these brownies have Nutella and marshmallow in them. Mm-hmm. And then there's M&M cookie that she baked. And what is this one? This one's like
cranberry coconut.
Yeah. Cranberry coconut. And then this one's sugar cookie. Mm-hmm.
There's definitely like sugar cookies.
Yeah. There's like some Rolos and Christmas tree cake. So I don't know. I kind of feel like I should try the brown. I don't know. I've had brownie before. The cranberry cookie looks really good too.
You know, those, I started making those at a restaurant I used to work at, and they wanted me to make them. Somebody else before me had made them, and I was like, ew, I don't really want to. And then I made them, and I was like, holy crap, these are good.
Yeah.
People would, like, expect those every holiday. And now they're one of my kids' favorite cookies, too. I'm like, all right, well, maybe people want to try these.
I'm going to try. We'll see. I might be eating on this the whole podcast.
Go ahead, eat it.
Should I have one, too?
Because I have to tell you, Annabelle, we all got, just so you know, Tris, she sent us all cookies.
Yeah.
All have a snack of the week.
Well, I dropped hers off and I was afraid at her house and I was afraid all the kids were going to eat them. Do you only have those sugar cookies left?
They're pretty much gone. I have to tell you, I buy the store-bought like sugar cookies, you know, the fluffy ones where they're kind of like really doughy with the frosting.
Yeah, they have like the cake icing on them. It's super sweet.
They're so amazing. Yeah. When I was pregnant, I would eat a whole box at a time.
It's fine.
They were so good. Maybe that's why I gain so much weight all the time. I mean, I don't know. When I got home from traveling yesterday, the kids were like, oh my God, Annabelle dropped these off. And I was like, well, I love sugar cookies. They're my favorite. And these are like to die for. And the kids are like, why can't you cook like her? Like, why can't you make sugar cookies like that?
You can. You just don't want to. So they're really easy. How do you like, do you like the coconut one, Tris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
You got to try that one, Poindexter. You didn't bring all yours in, but.
No, I did. They're all over here. But
see,
I like sprinkles. Sprinkles are my favorite.
I made a little platter for.
Isn't that cute?
Super cute. And I didn't eat breakfast. I was like, I just want to eat a sugar cookie for breakfast. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to eat one more piece of this middle. Because the sweet spot is the middle of those big-ass cookies. Because
I know. I like to break them in half. So then when you eat it, you can kind of eat it like a little pie. You get a bite of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
The cat's over here. My cat loves, like, shortbread and anything butter cookie. It's so weird. So as soon as I pick this up, he's, like, over here trying to get some cookie. I'm like, it's not good for you, bro.
You know, I'm really trying to watch what I eat during Christmas, and this is not helping me at all. Thank you. Watch what I eat and drink, and it's not, nothing's happening.
You can just chew the cookie up and then spit it out before you swallow it. I do that at work, I swear.
I'm not going to do that.
No, because, like, if you're working in the kitchen, a lot of times chefs can get really fat, because because you have to taste every tiny thing you're doing all the time. You need like an extra 3,000 to 5,000 calories a day. So for the most part, I taste something and spit it out. Don't eat it.
It's kind of like when you go wine tasting, right? You're not supposed to drink all the wine. Yeah, I don't really follow that rule either.
I mean, I used to not do that, but when I hit menopause, now that's what I do, because extra 3,000 calories a day, there's no way to make that up with exercise for me.
No. Well, you could always eat it and then go throw it up.
That's way more effort, though. That's a lot of effort.
I may or may have not waste. Done that drinking.
Drinking's different, but.
All right. Well, thank you, Annabelle, for making us wonderful snacks of the week.
You're welcome.
I mean, you know, you might have to put up your sugar cookie recipe for everyone.
I've got people in and out of my house, and I'm like, I set the other ones up like very cute on a tray in my kitchen. And I'm like, I swear, if somebody thinks I'm offering these to them,
they're going
to
think that's for the
open house.
I would
be like, no.
You better hide them when people come look at the house, because somebody's going to be like, oh, look how cute. She left out treats.
Eat one of my cookies and you automatically have to sign the paperwork. I'm just putting that
out there. Oh, and you stole a cookie? You're buying this house. Mm-hmm. You're buying the house. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
We saw it.
So our fan question of the week was, if you had to choose between being a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, what would it be? And I think this is it's a pretty decent question. So Tris, what would your choice be?
Well, so I was thinking about it, and I actually had the best of both worlds for my first, for my second, because I was actually doing like online chat services for Sprint when I worked at the call center. So I got to be at home and work, but I didn't need it to be quiet. So I still got that time with my kids. So I got to see walking for the first time and all that stuff, even though I was still having to work. So I don't know. That's tough to say one or the other, because you do get to a point where you like want to have normal conversations with adults, and yeah. I don't mingle that much with a lot of other people. So if I'm at home all the time, I have dog talk and kid talk. That's it. So I don't know. I'd have to work some. I'd have to do something that I was passionate about, even if it wasn't like a job, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You gotta have something else for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Annabelle, so what would you pick? Because I know you've kind of done both.
Well, and I picked both. I mean, because I thought I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I always thought that. And then when I had the first kid, I stayed at home with him. But then once I had the second one, which they were back-to-back, I was like, no. I do not enjoy this, and I am not good at it. So I got a nanny who is really sweet and lovely and worked for us for, like, I don't know, years. And that was way better. And I took my ass back to work because, I mean, not only do I just need the adult stimulation, I just don't really enjoy toddlers or babies at all. Like, I know a lot of people feel that way, but may not say it.
Oh, I agree. But
it was not a good time for me. So I'm like, I am someone who needs to work. I do not need to be home.
It can be stressful, like all the crying and stuff. Like, I try to tell that to people that don't, like, you know, people get very frustrated when somebody brings a baby or a kid over. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, imagine if you had to be in that all the time. Like,
right.
And then it's doubly
right.
Somebody
then
was at a restaurant.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, there was a lady at the restaurant. I felt so bad because this baby was fussing and it was a nice restaurant. And I think you start to feel the pressure of the baby crying, and you could tell that everyone in the restaurant and the baby can feel that pressure. So then it, like, everything is heightened and intense. So like, it's just a very,
Don't take really your baby stressful. To a nice restaurant.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that.
We took one of our first to a really nice restaurant. And that was like, and I was like, once he started crying, I'm like, oop, out. We're out. I'm like, because I am not, I just, you know, was just aware that if people go to a nice restaurant, you don't want to listen to a baby cry.
You don't. So, and I think that's fair for other parents. It's not just child-free people that feel that way. Like, if I'm going out to a really nice restaurant and I'm spending that money, I don't want your I don't want your bleeping baby ruining my night. And there's certain places. I mean, if you have an infant in arms and they're sleeping and quiet, it doesn't bother me. But if your kid's screaming in, you know, a Michelin star restaurant, you need to get that baby out of there, because that is not cool. I'm sorry. I know it sucks as a parent, but also, you know what? When you have kids, you have to make sacrifices. You can't do everything you used to do.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I don't know. I like newborns and babies until they get to be toddlers. Then I'm like, someone else can take them. But Tris, going back to your point of like babies crying, I think as you have more and more kids, you just tune all of it out. So by the third child, I was like, are you crying? I don't even hear you. And if you are, I'm like, you're going to live. You ain't going to die. I already know you're not going to die. If you get sick, you're going to be fine.
If somebody's not killing the other one, it's almost, you can tell the screams and the cries because I'm like, hey, break it up. And they're like, what? We're playing. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought you.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
oh, yeah. Because even now I have a whole like, you can fight because they're all boys. I'm like, if you guys want to wrestle, fight. But once there's blood, you got to stop, or there's anything, you can't choke each other out. Otherwise, go for it.
That's like the hard part. To, like, you know, you're not indestructible, right? You can break each other's like bones and hurt each other badly.
Yep. Well, and your kids, Poindexter, they've always been super rough and rowdy, wrestling all the time. And, you know, I have a boy and a girl, so it was a little different dynamic. But my son then is with your boys all the time. And I mean, they've growing up, just beating the crap out of each other and wrestling. And, you know, it's always fun until someone gets hurt.
Yep. And then it's like, well, I don't want to hear it. You did it. You're fine. Right. I don't see anything broken. So just suck it up.
Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, I've kind of done both, like the stay at home and the working part. So when I was on maternity leave, I used to go like, Tris, like I would go crazy. I'm like, I need adult stimulation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I cannot sit here and be like, oh, look at, you're so cute. And like, right? I mean, or talking to the other moms, I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind because like, all you guys want to talk about is your child and nap time. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. But then I also got the whole kind of guilt because I was a working mom. And I'm sure you probably felt this way too, Annabelle, where it's like on the weekends, all my other stay-at-home mom friends would be like, oh, I can't go anywhere because it's nap time. And I'm like, nap time? I'm like, I got errands to run. I got things to do. So I've kind of, and I also, after the third baby, I did kind of take a break and stay home for a little bit and then worked from home with one of our businesses. And that was kind of a nice sweet spot because I could walk the kids to daycare, drop them off, preschool, drop them off, and then do some work. And so it was kind of a nice in between. But honestly, I do better as a parent and a partner and just as my own sanity if I'm actually working. And I'm more efficient and just happier.
I was not happy and not good at being a stay-at-home mom in any way.
I'm not good at being a stay-at-home wife. Like, I'm not good at cooking. I'm not good at cleaning. And if I honestly, like, if I had to stay at home and like not work, I would actually stay in the pool all day long and just drink and become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I need to have like a purpose in life. And my purpose can't be, I mean, I love my kids, but it's like, it can't just be my kids because my kids are going to grow up and they're going to become their own. I want them to grow up, become their own individual people and adults and have their own lives. I don't want my life to be centered around them and I don't want them, their life centered around me. Does that make sense?
I agree. I agree with that completely. I mean, you're always, I think people always feel some guilt when they go to work, but at the same time, like me being at a job and having a really kind, loving, squishy, sweet nanny was way better for those kids than me being at home and being frazzled and yelling all the time.
You mean wanting to
shake
nanny?
The baby? Yeah, because, yeah, exactly. Because the baby, just the second one cried nonstop, always. And I was like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I get that. Ugh, us moms, right? I mean, it goes back to like kind of being, I kind of feel like it's kind of, that's an irrational topic right here, right? Where it's like, are we being irrational? Where it's like, kind of want to stay home, but I kind of want to work. I kind of want to be around my kids, but I kind of just like don't want to be around my kids. There's got to be a sweet spot because honestly, it's like, I don't know. I just, these women that do stay at home, I'm like, good for you. But I just, if I had to go pick up like people's laundry and then do the dishes and then clean the house and make food all day long, I would just be like, I would run away.
Yeah. For me, it's more like when you have to like sit down and like play with them. That is the absolute worst to me. Like I would sit down to try to play with a kid and within 3 minutes, I'm so bored that I'm like looking for a butter knife to start sawing on my wrist or something. And then I have to like pick up my phone and do something because I'm just so bored out of my mind. And again, that's probably sounds really horrible, but I mean,
no, that's why you also have a sibling for them to play with.
Exactly. They have siblings. But also it's like, nobody played with us. No grown up sat, I don't think, sat on the floor. My parents watch this. So I'm sure they'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember them sitting down in the floor and playing with it. Like, that wasn't a thing. So no, I'm like, I ain't doing that. No way.
No, I think there's way too much pressure these days where it's like, you've got to do all these different things where I'm like, my parents did none of that. Like,
We went out in the woods. We just went to the woods and roamed. That was the thing to do
when you were younger because I had a spot in the woods where we would go find, there was like an abandoned car and there was like crap all in it. And you're like, oh, this is so cool.
Right.
Right now you're like, oh my God, do not go to that car. You're going to like get a cut and then you're going to need stitches and then you're going to need a tetanus shot.
Everybody's too much trying to be like, if I'm not completely hands-on, everyone's going to think I'm a bad parent. And number one, who gives a crap what everyone else thinks? Right. If your kids are happy and you're happy.
Right. It's like they're being pressured into being a helicopter mom. And
oh, yeah. I cannot stand that. No, to me, I'm like, with the kids, I'm like, go ride your bikes and go do something. Yeah. Even now. I mean, we have actually locked the kids out of the house at times.
So oh, like, absolutely. We got locked out. You go out, if you want something to eat, you take a sandwich. No, I know. I'm saying I would do the same thing. I mean, you want lunch, make a sandwich and take it with you. You want water, water hose. Like,
that's. Yep. Well, I think you've been at my house before when we locked all the kids out. We're like, this is too effing crazy. You guys go outside, figure it out. Oh, didn't remember they made a slip and slide one year in front of your house out of like,
I didn't even have a slip and slide. I think it was in the beginning of COVID. We just got some big tarps and covered the whole yard. And it was like a ton of kids because nobody could go in. Not everyone was letting people go in their houses. I mean, we let our kids go in the house together because they were all together all the time. So, but yeah, there was a big old slip and slide. I feel like at some point they got some soap out and I was like, okay, we can't be putting soap all in the yard.
Oh, they did that with a trampoline. They would put the sprinkler underneath the trampoline put a ton of soap on it, and they would jump around. And I'm like, cool. Now you don't have to take a shower or a bath.
Right. You're clean, right?
You're clean.
Soap be making everything slippery, though.
Okay. So switching topics to our rational mom topic. I guess it's just – why do we have to have women that troll other women online? I mean, come on, women. Because
women are mean. That's why.
They can be. I think they're definitely the worst of the haters for absolutely no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. So it's like.
Women are, there's a whole host of reasons. Some people are just mean. Some are haters because, I don't know, they like think you're going to steal their man or something. The one that was harassing you last night. Your retort to them was pretty funny.
Based on her bio, she definitely, because she had like 2 followers and her bio was like about loving her husband. I was like, oh, geez, what happened? Who cheated on who? Uh-huh. What did he look at that you didn't like? Because that's
anytime the bio talks about the spouse, there's some kind of problems in your relationship.
If you have joint social media, if your bios say that you love each other so much, somebody did something wrong.
Like Haley and Ben, Haley and Ben got problems in their marriage. I know it. There ain't reason anybody needs a joint Facebook account with your husband. That is ridiculous. It's because you don't trust him.
Emails, like when I see that, right, where it's like, Haley and Ben at gmail.com.
The Johnson family. Like, you can't each have your own email? What is going on? It's so strange to me. And also, ladies, if your husband is inclined to cheat, you having a joint Instagram with him is going to make zero difference in anything. Mm-mm. Like, if that fool's a dog, he's going to be a dog. You're not controlling anything.
If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And that's the problem that I think I'm just going to say women, even though I know that it's men too, but they get so obsessed about finding what they don't even want to find in the first place. Like they get more upset when they don't find something, but they obsess so much about it that I think it really does drive other people. Because when there's no trust and stuff, like that's just not sexy. Mm-hmm. Like nobody wants to be in that situation. So they're almost always going to find a reason to get out of that. Like it's just toxic to be that way. And it's tough to not, if you've been hurt in the past. I'll just put that out there because I get it. But at some point you have to just trust yourself that if something happened, you're going to do the right thing and just get the heck out of there. Like,
and we've talked about that.
Just only trust yourself. Yeah.
You and I have talked about that a lot before where it's like, the thing is there's no action. If I'm with someone, there's no action I can take that's going to control their actions. Yep. No matter how hard I try to look, no matter how much I scroll their phone, none of these things that people do are going to make any difference in the partner's actions. They might be more secretive, but they're not going to do anything different. And if you think you want to go scroll somebody's phone, first of all, be prepared for what you're going to find. But second, if you don't find anything, you know what happens? You still feel suspicious. You just think that they're hiding it better. So like you take all these actions, there's zero, like, what is the end goal? There's no positive outcome from being controlling or stalkerish or whatever with your partner. Now, I understand if you want another cheating and you're going to leave, but you can't control anyone.
But you don't need to look. I mean, if you, women know in their guts, like what's going on. I mean, they don't, we have a really good intuition. Like why, if you have to go look, you're just looking for that proof and you're going to end up finding it. But to me, I also feel like if you know, I mean, if you you kind of know who you've already married, right? If he cheated on you before you got married, he's going to be cheating on you after you're married. That's not, people don't change. They just don't. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I guess there's a certain, no, I shouldn't say that. Some people can change. I will say that. There is a very small percentage of people that can actually change. And maybe they grow up and they mature and they do change. Because I do think you can, if, but it's,
you have to want to do too, though.
Yeah, they have
there's to be someone to else change can for do. Themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. You can't, I can't make you be a certain way. If you want to be a different way, you can do that for yourself, but it just doesn't work. So all that mental energy and the gymnastics you have to do in your head, it's, mm-hmm. it's completely useless actually. You know what I mean? If you don't trust them, you don't trust them.
Yeah.
If you don't trust them, just think, and you think he's cheating, then just go out and get a boyfriend and call it good.
Right. Call it even. Yep. If you don't want to split up, but you also want to have fun, there you go.
Hey, it's a win-win on all fronts.
Easy peasy. All right, now we're good.
Hey, I'm all about getting even.
I'm just hold a grudge like nobody's business, man. Revenge 10 years later. Yes.
Okay. Let's switch over to football because we got so much to talk about and we got some amazing games going on this weekend. Okay. Annabelle, I have a question though for you before we get into this, because Christmas Day, there were so many good games. So the Chiefs are going to play at 10. So I've already like told my kids, we've got to open presents and be done by 10 o'clock. And then the 49ers are playing the Ravens at 5:15. So now I'm having to switch up dinner because I don't want to miss that game. And I usually eat at 5. So I think I'm going to move everybody to like 4. So I can be done. So, I mean, is that
that's
like
a good idea? No, that's like a good idea because like my in-laws, for example, they will not tolerate football being on television during dinner. I mean, they don't really like TV anyway or sports. So I think I need to make my actual dinner part earlier too. Then I can just turn the game on after.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. That's
a good I'm going to have to tell everybody like, hey, you got it. We're eating at 4. So, and we're going to be done at 5. And if you don't like football, then you can leave.
Right.
Yeah. See, we're like making
a lot leave.
We're making the Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas Thanksgiving dinner, the night before on Christmas Eve, so then we can just have all the leftovers the next day.
Yay! I like
that. I do like the Christmas Eve thing people do sometimes. That's nice because then the next day you ain't gonna do nothing. But
Yeah, we're gonna have like some family over, and we're gonna do I'm gonna do lasagnas.
For Christmas Eve.
For Christmas Eve, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just simple. Okay. So let's talk about football. Annabelle, let's talk about like what happened this weekend with, you know, everything.
Well, I think last week, I feel like, I can't remember exactly. We started talking about this idea. The question was like, are the elite teams really elite? You know, and other than the 49ers, I feel like, I don't think so. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Ravens are really good, but then the Rams almost beat them. So I'm like, are the Ravens not that good, or the Rams are just way better than people think when they have all their people healthy? Like, I'm not full. I'm still not sure of that answer yet. Oh, the Eagles, man. The Eagles.
They lost to the Seahawks.
It's weird because the whole year, to me, the Chiefs and Eagles, even though they were mostly winning, it was like, they're not looking very good though. And the Eagles have three weeks in a row have looked pretty bad. And I mean, Seattle's not, they got a good defense, but at the same time, like the Eagles should be way, I mean, the Rams beat the Seahawks twice. So it's like, what are y'all doing? Like, I feel, I don't know what's going on over there. Part of me wonders, do they just need to get a good offensive coordinator? Because the offense seems really like not creative. It seems pretty like readable and bland. So I'm like, do people just figure the Eagles out and that's what's happening? You know, I'm not sure, but that Monday game was very, very surprising. You know,
well, I think that happens a lot, right? I think Mahomes was the same way, where it's like the offense was pretty much, I mean, I kind of feel like last couple of years, people kind of figured out like what was going on, and then they really had to switch up their game.
Right. But Andy Reid is a brilliant offensive mind. So I think
he is.
They might fare better in the scenario. And I'm not knocking Sirianni or anything. I'm just saying like it looks kind of like, y'all need something different, or because it's not working. Plus, their secondary has been pretty abysmal. But even their line, the D line, was pretty garbage. I mean, the last two games they've gotten, or three games, teams ran all over them. I'm like, what happened to those big, strong guys? Like, it's pretty, it's just surprising, I guess. But
you know, I think a lot of it though, Annabelle, is that when they started losing, it just kind of goes like, it's just a mind game, right? Where it's like, yeah. Then they're kind of like in this mental state of like, hey, we were on top. We were gonna like win Super Bowl last year. We're mm-hmm. doing really well. And all of a sudden we start losing. And then I think yeah. it's really hard once you get into that mindset of like, mm-hmm. it's a mental game on top of a physical game too, right? And yeah. how do you pull yourself out of that? And I think that's where the coaches have to really come in and like really try to pump their yeah. players up. And if you have players that aren't, you know, I mean, it's mental, even though it is a physical game, there's still a lot of mental aspects to it of like, and when you start losing, I think it can be kind of a mind F on you.
Yeah, you know? I agree. And also like there were some things like with the play calling. So I think on the last play of the game, when the Eagles needed, like, they're down by three, they needed, I think, 15 yards to get in field goal range. And Jalen Hurts goes and throws a long bomb to the end zone and it gets picked off. And I'm like, what the hell was that? Like, you literally just needed 15 yards. It was just strange to me. If that was a first down play, maybe, but I don't know. And I yeah. really like Jalen Hurts, but I don't know. And I don't know if that's the play calling or that was his poor decision making or what. I mean, the ball was underthrown anyway, but I don't know. I think the 49ers are the team to beat, in my opinion.
I do too.
They end up
playing.
I just feel
like
against.
That came out of nowhere. I feel like at the beginning, I didn't think 49ers, like, well, I wasn't even talking about it now.
Well, when Debo and Trent Williams were out, I think that's when they lost all the games they've lost.
Yeah.
And I mean, it shows you what a difference, like, Trent Williams to me is like, you can call him the MVP because he swallows up three or four people and allows you to have an offense. Just him alone makes your chances way better of doing anything. Because most teams just do not have somebody that big that can handle that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll be interesting. I mean, I'm still, I kind of want the Dolphins to be the AFC champs yeah. over the Ravens. You know, I'm sorry. I just do. I mean, yeah. I like to see the Dolphins over there. Like, you know, I
want to see Mike McDaniel in the Super Bowl and what kind of antics
I know,
he gets up
me
to.
Too, right? Yeah. I want him to, like, not wear his gold rimmed glasses, though. I want him to wear, like, something else. Like, maybe can someone get him a teal framed or something?
Ooh, that would be cool. So who do y'all think should win MVP if they chose today? Who do you think the MVP would be?
Not Mahomes.
I've heard people say Mahomes still, and I'm like, are you serious? That man ain't having an MVP season. Get out of here.
No, he's not at all. I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean,
because who's in the running? I mean, I've heard people talk about Brock Purdy. And
I was
going
to say Brock.
Lamar.
I think
would
guess.
Be like, yeah. I mean. Honestly, and then also it's like my heart goes out to him. Poor guy. I mean,
who?
Pretty Brock? Because he ain't making that much money and he's freaking killing it out there. And
he's going to make some money though, I think.
He will eventually, right? He's still under his
He's on his rookie
contract.
Deal.
Yeah.
What, so two more years, I think?
Yeah.
This is
which only
year?
Makes like
3 more years. Oh,
3
gosh.
More years?
So it's 5 years?
He only makes like I don't even want to say. It's like less than $1 million a year or something.
I think he has a roommate too. But a lot of young guys do have
Well, but
have
you know
roommates.
I think he's making money on the back end because Toyota picked him up as like and they're paying him for some marketing.
Oh, that's good.
So I think he's probably doing making some money there.
I
hopefully.
Think his endorsements are going to go way up after this season because it showed last year's not a fluke and he's actually a good quarterback. And so him, Lamar, I've heard people talk about CMC being in the running for MVP. I don't know who else though. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I haven't been paying that much attention. I was traveling the earlier part of this week. And then I caught on I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was someplace online. Maybe it was Twitter or X. So they were talking about how the Chiefs, they took on their last fourth down, they actually kneeled. And people were pissed because
Andy Reid
made that call to have them kneel because they could have scored and ran up the game a little bit higher. But he didn't want to do that to the Patriots.
Well,
about that? Yeah, I did. Because like the bet, it messed up a lot of the bets.
I love when a head coach makes a call that's in the best interest of the team because he just wants to win. He doesn't care if it's by 2 or 20. He wants to win. I love when it messes it up for people that gamble. I don't know why, but it's like, ha, that's what you get for some, you know, because right. I'm spiteful and petty like that. So when I people see people yelling on the internet about, you cost me money. No, your dumbass did, because you're the one betting on a score and getting mad at someone for making the best interest, calling the play that's in the best interest of your team. Like, well, get out of here.
To me, I'm like, the thing is, and I feel like, I was reading the comments, and yeah, people were just like, oh, screwed up my bet. And then people were like, you're a loser for for betting, like, to begin right. with. I mean, because, you know, it's the internet, right? So people are just insanely crazy. But then I also liked it where it's like, hey, that's good sportsmanship. We don't need to have games like where Miami was like winning by like 40 points, right? And you're just a total blowout. That's not good sportsmanship. Like, where at what point do you just say, like, you know, we're winning. We don't need to make it a blowout. And there's nothing that we need to prove. And the thing is, I think he just has a lot of respect for the Patriots, like the organization in general. And it was just like, why? And they're both two good coaches. And I think it was just like, hey, we're already winning. There's only 23 seconds left on the clock. Yeah, we'll give you the ball back, but the chances of you scoring are just going to be zero.
Well, but also think about, okay, so you're winning and you're going to win. Why run even one more play somebody could get injured on for, like, no reason? I mean, I understand sometimes teams, I don't know about the NFL so much, but in college, they'll put in, you know, the subs or whatever to give them playing time and experience. And that makes sense to me. But just having your starters out there risking injury for absolutely no reason, I don't see the point of that, you know, at all.
I agree with you, because it's, you just don't know, right? And we've seen so many injuries this year, like so many good quarterbacks that have been injured and they're out. And a lot of these teams, I think, that were really doing really well are now like are suffering, right? So it's been a bad year for injuries if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, it has. I'm just crossing my fingers that old man Matthew Stafford just keeps up with what he's doing, because he's having a good season, I got to say. I mean, the whole team is very – it's been surprising that they're not so terrible and they're getting better. Like, you can see the difference in a lot of the rookies or the young guys that are playing. Like, Aaron Donald's working with all those young guys so much, and you can tell, like, they're actually kind of getting it together, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice to not have an abysmal season.
So Aaron Rodgers, I think he's like 2 or 3 weeks away from being like cleared to play. So I think that he's not going to play this season, but he's talking about how he thinks that he can come back next year and just like be incredible. Yeah, I think he could. I don't know. I hope that he does, because I like Aaron Rodgers, obviously.
Maybe so. Yeah, I saw that they're not going to have him play after all. I mean, to me, I know he wants to get back in the game, but there's also no point
in rushing. Why risk? Like, you're just going to finish up healing, come back strong next year. Yeah. If you're going to come back, that's fine. Right. But like,
plus, not only that, you got to work with your offensive line. I mean, that line still, I mean.
Right. He's an old man too. So. You need better protection. Yeah. These old guys, you got to give them protection. They cannot run like Lamar or whoever else. Yeah. I don't know why I just always think of him. He's just so good at escaping anything. So old guys don't have moves like that. You got to have some big boys on the O-line.
How old is Lamar Jackson? Because he has been injured the last two seasons, right? And he didn't make it to the game, like game 14, 15, or week 14, 15. Last two seasons? Yeah,
I think he's 16. 26. Is that right?
Okay. Is he 26?
Yeah, he's still young.
He's still young. God, he came in 26.
2018, and 19 was his MVP year, I think, maybe.
Okay, so he came on the same time Mahomes did, because Mahomes is 27.
Okay. I don't remember if they're in the same draft class or not. Maybe Matt will tell us.
God, I didn't know that. I thought he was like in his 30s for some reason.
No, he's young.
He does not look.
Oh, yeah, I was right. Okay. Yeah, because 19 was his MVP year, right?
Okay. Well, I think that we have like some good football to look forward to on Christmas Day. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited too. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun day of just like a lot of football. And I'm going to try to not be in the kitchen, because Grandma Poindexter can cook now. She can walk.
Oh, yeah. She's up and moving.
Yeah. So I can be like, oh, I'm like not having to cook, and I can just be in the – I can watch football all day long.
Very nice.
Be good. Okay. Just so you all know, our Christmas special is going to be coming out on Christmas Day. We have a little bit more of a Q&A for you guys on some Christmas questions. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So that wraps it for this week, and you can listen to us on Apple or Spotify, or you can find us at irrationalmoms.com. And don't forget to, you know, like, comment, and tell a friend.
Yep. And we'll be back with more snacks next week.
Yeah. Bye.